Welcome back, MGTOW men. So, MGTOW, when we look back on when we went our own way and when we saw that we could go our own way, because for some, they were trying to get out of a situation in which they couldn't, but they knew about MGTOW, they knew about what they wanted to do when they went their own way, they just could not get there yet. Sometimes there were physical barriers in the way. Sometimes there were emotional barriers that you were trying to break through. And it's really like a second lease on life from how I view it. And I remember having my mind yearn towards the thoughts of MGTOW before hearing it, in particular during a certain relationship, and just hoping I'd be able to make it to the finish line, which in my eyes, I had connected the finish line to being MGTOW. It was like crawling through that sewage pipe at the Shawshank prison, making it out at the other end and jumping in elation, even though it's pouring rain, I'm covered in fecal matter, but I'm free. And it's literally a new era in your life. So as some of you guys know, I've been binging on Stardust Thinking Ape videos lately and have been really enthralled, not even necessarily about the MGTOW content that he discusses, but the thought that he brings up about the world, history, and politics, as well as the mind that he has cultivated. But in particular, I was listening to a talk between Barbar and Stardust about how they came to MGTOW. And the thing that I want to touch on from this great convo is, and there could be many of those things, is this idea that both of these guys, definitely in Stardust's own self-admission, they would consider themselves being Blue Pill in the past. And these are two of what I'd say kind of the original five or so MGTOW guys on YouTube that catalyzed its presence. But they were once blue-pilled dudes, just like I was. Stardust was married, and Barbar came across MGTOW ideas very young and felt the push to go MGTOW in his teens upon observing things growing up in the Bronx and observing his parents' relationship. But even the men that are speaking today on MGTOW content, we are not some Obi-Wan Jedi masters in regards to the fact we've never had a moment of blue-pill weakness. We have had that. We have been that. And they have had new leases on life. And for Stardust, who was formerly married, it was a new life that he was able to live. He was able to opt out of the demands that he had to be a part of and live. And now he can live the unconventional life that he always brings up that he has. He's living out in Germany. He's working odd jobs to support his life, not supporting the treadmill of demands that he would otherwise have lorded on his shoulders. And so I was blue-pilled, but I always questioned. And many of us did. I know that for me, I turned my nose towards dating and this idea of pursuing women very early in my life, but soon was intoxicated with it between the ages of 20 and 22. It wasn't just women, it was pursuing the conventional patterns of life, even all the way down to how I would spend my free time on my Friday nights and my Saturdays while everyone else was out partying and quote-unquote living in the moment. So I'm bringing this up because I think about abasing oneself and how it can bring the soul and the mind into greater strength and honesty, but also in regards to a story that I'm going to deliver to you guys today. Okay, it's the shedding of this overwhelming burden that has constructed a weighty cloud, and it's enraptured our minds and thoughts. You don't know how you'll shed it, and honestly, it doesn't seem like it could be shed at times, period. But most of the time, this despair is felt during the relationship that was nearly serving as that widowmaker for you. Okay, it's about a man today that had a widowmaker in real life and also nearly a relational widowmaker. Okay, and how the parallel between the two, how I see going blue pill and going red pill and going MGTOW, it offers that second chance on life. So I survived two heart attacks. That's what I'm going to label this email as. And this email, I'm going to take out a couple chunks towards the end just for the sake of brevity. I'm almost 43. I'm a man that was raised by women. Reminds me once again of Tyler Durden's famous line in that bathtub. Fight Club. Generation of men raised by women. There were no significant men in my life to emulate as a youngster. It's a problem we see today. My father was uninvolved, period. I was raised by my mother and sister. I had 19 girl cousins. 19? Okay, three boy cousins. The closest was a boy 9 years my junior. I was also raised in what I would classify a cult, similar to the Seventh-day Adventist, Old Testament style. However, I was not involved with the men in our circle. I was left to the women to raise. I was the cute one, the good son, the good boy, the helper. We can see where this is going. They do everything for all the women in my life, and I'm that guy. Which was everyone. All the people at my age at my church were girls. I wasn't allowed man time. No one stepped up to help me or guide me. I was only guided by gynocentric theory, school, home, family, and church. So this is the beginning, I'm just going to interject, of the typical male that is disposed of early on, whether or not it is from people's promptings or his own self-inflicted wounds. And we all know the products of modern feminism and its effects on boys in school and life. I won't bear the details of that and bore you with them. I have, in fact, by all accounts and truthful acknowledgement, been a giant cuck or blue-pilled man my entire life. And I have only understood this recently, within the last 2 years. I, as an 8-year-old, understood one thing. I was to be strong and self-reliant, never to rely or trust on anyone or anything outside myself. In fact, my favorite movie was Jeremiah Johnson, A Mountain Man. After the age of 8 or 9, something happened. I dropped my personal understanding and replaced them with what I was supposed to be in the woman's mind. I supplanted my understanding for social propaganda and learning, and I began to live life for women. I did everything for my mom and sister and cousins and every woman in my life. This continues. Everyone I dated took my soul, my heart, treated it as if it were having no value. I was cheated on, left, boomeranged, reintegrated, cheated, lied to, left over and over, friend-zoned over and over. However, my last relationship really took the cake. So it's the hybrid. Some of it's self-inflicted, as we see right here, and some of it is not. The nice guy syndrome and cuck and all sorts of feminist type qualities were given to me to hold dear because that's what these women around me valued. So he had no male role model in his life to tell him to think otherwise. So you need a balance of that. You need that to be there. My last relationship was brutal. She was a full-blown narcissist, had some sort of borderline personality disorder, was absolutely brutal in the emotional abuse area, destroyed me, period. She took everything from me, everything. She was alcoholic, full-blown, couldn't support herself. I paid the bills, clean, did laundry, the whole nine yards. Kept us fed and clothed and, well, you know, kept her drunk. I even did that. So admitting some enabling tendencies. That's what I was supposed to do. Then she left me, started talking to a guy she met, and bam, you know, I was gone. That devastated me. After 8 months of giving everything I had ever possessed to her and giving it to her, it was still not enough. She found a Harley riding mechanic bad boy to run with. Goes along with the narcissistic mentality. So I spent the next 14 months destroyed, utterly. I would get home from work, get a beer, go into the bathroom and bawl, cry for hours, pray to be sent home. Was basically asking to die. Then one day, I did. On January 24th, 2016, I had a massive coronary heart attack. I had what is called the Widowmaker, a heart attack very few survive. I stood in line at the ER window and saw my final sights my eyes could see. Saw the wet floor sign, the people in front of me, and the floor. I was blown away when I read this. The tunnel closed in on my life and went black. I died right there. I went into full arrest and my normal heartbeat was gone. I had full blockage of 2 descending arteries on the left side of my heart. My life was saved because of where I died, in the ER. I was shocked 5 times, physically stopping my heart, and I was given CPR compressions. I received 2 stents and cleared 2 blockages. I woke up 2 days later, massive trauma to my body for the fight it just had endured, raging with pain from the beating it took for resuscitation, meds flowing through my body like acid in my veins, keeping my blood thin and flowing. It was a tough wake up, but at that moment, I knew nothing would be the same in me ever again. I quit smoking after 24 years, cold turkey. I hit ruin with that woman, pushed to absolute exhaustion while I was with her and annihilated after her leaving. See, he's left with nothing. It was for naught, other than a few realizations potentially. I had actually done what the woman had asked me to do, give my life for her. I did, wholly and unapologetically. It wasn't even valued one bit, though. They can never reciprocate, that NPD mind. After the attack, I had to solve my life issues, for I had a second chance, one I more than surely should not have received. The chance to be a different person, change a life. I wasn't happy in any way. For the next 2 years, I pored over narcissistic personality disorder videos, BPD disorder videos, or borderline personality disorder videos, learning why I had ended up with her. That's a very important thing right there. And you can tell, once again, as I mentioned in yesterday's video, that MPD, that BPD woman will find the nice guy, the one that can support her and feed that MPD mind that constantly needs feeding. So codependence and nice guy syndrome, people pleaser syndrome, toxic women, BS metrosexual appropriation onto a man that is no business there, learning tactics of toxic people. And then I stumbled upon MGTOW. I was struck by the fact, you know, I had felt like that when I was very young. It was now just hitting me at 8, but anger crept in because I was duped and I allowed myself to be brainwashed and gave away my power. So even the strongest men, we can be duped. I've been duped. I'm working on the anger against the lies I was fed my whole life, the lies I lived hoping to believe, the pains I took that weren't my own, the belief that romantic relationships are what make life valuable, the red pill rage, some call it. But it was so personal. I had given my very life to it. My very heartbeats were silenced. I learned. MGTOW became a way of me getting advice from men, older men, younger men, men in general, advice I never got my whole life. A community of men that didn't want to destroy you. That's a new thing to this man, but wanted to teach. Understanding some things I never could solve. Men helping other men in a world where most are left to themselves to solve all they encounter. Something I have looked for my whole life. Godspeed, hoodies up, hoodies out. My goodness, man, I wanted to share this one right away. It was going to be intended for the ebook, and as it will be still, but this one needed to be delivered because it touches on two very important things. So we see this white knight, we see this blue pill, this nice guy that we warn men not to be. We don't want him to be that, all right? And the reason being is because it literally can lead to your death, as we saw right here. And also, just how severe and how important it is and how severe it can be for your health if you do not have a man in your life, somebody there to be a good reflection of what it means to stand up for yourself as a man in today's world, because that's something that is shamed. 10 volumes into MGTOW Shaming Lens and probably got 20 or 30 more to go, hopefully. And so now he can finally live as Jeremiah Johnson did, the guy he wanted to be, right? The thing that is important to recognize is that white knighting isn't just one bout every once in a while with a fire-breathing dragon, okay? It's not like you're Prince Charming out there on the mountain. You got to fight that dragon once. You got one dragon to slay. It's a lifestyle. And the thing I want to emphasize is that white knighting is a problem because it is a lifestyle. And when white knighting becomes a lifestyle, you become that pawn. All right, you become a small soldier in a big war. And every soldier given a long enough timeline in the line of fire and in battle, that soldier's going to die. Given a long enough timeline in battle. And as we saw here, he did. He literally did. And sure, some of this is on him, all right, not drawing boundary lines, continuing to smoke, compiled with potentially a few other poor health practices in all likelihood. But also, the white knight life and the blue pill paradigm can eradicate a man because it keeps him in the state of male disposability. See, he has never been shown value for himself. So his value is devaluing himself. And that part is not of his fault. Obviously, there was no one there to deliver that message to him. And that is what MGTOW is doing as well, in a sense. It's acting as that counseling opportunity and that therapy. So when we discuss white knighting and living for the sake of someone that doesn't deserve that which you're doing to supply their life, we're discussing keeping you alive and keeping you from literally wasting your life. It's a second lease on life. It's a second chance on everything. And I equate it to, once again, another baseball analogy. It's like being in the batter's box, all right? You hit a pop foul behind the plate. You got underneath it, and it's coming down to the catcher who you see right in front of you. It's going to squeeze the mitt and end the game. But to our luck, there's enough spin on it, and you're able to have that ball pop out of the catcher's mitt. You get another swing at the pitcher. You know what that pitcher threw before, and you now see the world as it is and seeing that pitch as it actually came in and you hit one out of the park. That's it. We are protecting you, but we're building you towards that home run. So men, do you have a story like this? This one's going to be in my ebook. And if you got one, share it with me because you might get it out there to help other men as well. To do so, hit me up at sunrisehoodie@gmail.com or on Twitter at that same spot. Hoodies up, men. Hoodies out.